Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees went away to work out between them how to trap Jesus in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him, together with the Herodians, to say, "Master, we know that you are an honest man and teach the way of God in an honest way, and that you are not afraid of anyone because a man's rank means nothing to you. Tell us your opinion then. Is it permissible to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus was aware of their malice and replied, "You hypocrites, why do you set this trap for me? Let me see the money you pay the tax with." They handed him a denarius. He said, "Whose head is this? Whose name?" "Caesar's," they replied. He then said to them, "Very well, give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord. I think it used to be said in polite society that there were two subjects that were never to be discussed. Didn't discuss a person's religion or their politics. And the reason, of course, was because both subjects are very dear to the hearts of those who believe them. That there are subjects that do indeed affect believers, the whole being, and of course religion affects the whole of all our being, our whole life. And so history tells of many odd marriages of convenience between proponents of opposing ideologies that are in order to confront a common enemy. So medieval times, often two powerful families would come together in marriage, and so that, you know, they extended their power. So the King of England would marry the Queen of France, or in the royal families, mixing it all up so that was power was what it was. And in a way, that happens in the gospel this morning, because the two groups that confront Jesus with a question that affects actually both religion and politics, the sacred and the secular, were a very unnatural associates. It was a strange sort of marriage, as it were. Because the Herodians were supporters of the regime of Herod and his dynasty, who were well disposed towards the Roman occupying rulers. In fact, they were kept there in power by the rulers, and as far as religious matters were concerned, they had the same materialistic ideas as the Sadducees, so therefore totally opposed to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, zealous keepers of the law, anti-Roman, regarded the Herods as usurpers. But in a way, two groups at odds with each other, but their amazing pact as they come to target Jesus, as it were their hatred, plotting together what they can do to get rid of him. It's a reminder that Shakespeare noted that misery acquaints a man with strange bedfellows, and I suppose we could say the same of hatred brought them together. Now, either way, it seems that Jesus is in a no-win situation. But as ever, the way Jesus deals with the situation matters for us and helps us today. In his reply, Jesus doesn't answer the original question directly, but makes a sort of announcement that seems incredibly vague. Give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give back to God what belongs to God. And he asks for a coin because he knows that where the coins are, there is your heart too. I'm ever reminded of the bishop that said, it's the congregations that heartily sing, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all," as they reach for the smallest coin in their pocket. So Jesus takes the coin and knows that that mirrors, in a way, their lives. And so he's challenging them, saying, if you are accepting the advantages of this occupying power, the better roads, we all know Roman roads, very straight and very good, we've still got signs of them all over our country, those straight Roman roads, commercial opportunities, international protection, then he's saying you should be prepared to pay taxes for them. Give your rightful return to the secular power. Yes, pay your taxes. In fact, two certainties of death and taxes. We know taxes have to be paid. But you then give to God. Absolute worship belongs to God. Doesn't go to specify what belongs to Caesar, because there is a sense in which Caesar possesses nothing independently of God. And he doesn't need to specify the things that belong to God, because everything does. Remember when he is before Pilate, and Pilate said, "Did you not know I've got power to release you and I have power to..." And he said, "You would have no power at all were it not given you from above." God has dominion over the whole of creation, and Caesar's relative power is subservient to that ultimate power of God. And so he's reaffirming the absolute dominion of God in all areas of life. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and the rest of the words that are a paraphrase of one of the Psalms. But that's where we need to rest, because in today's world, this dominion of God is obscured by the concerted efforts to have the secular area of life stand on its own, not just edging God out to the edges, but to want to totally obliterate God. No mention of the sacred in any way. It wants politics with no religious dimension. Secularism, that movement of thought, attitude, and behavior that seeks to render God as irrelevant to the way we live as human beings or as society. And it then spawns a sort of humanism that isn't fully human, since it neglects and disregards that side of humanity that is restless for God. St. Augustine said, "Our souls are restless till they rest in thee." The psalmist said, "O God, you search me, you know me." The psalmist also says that my soul is thirsting for God, the God of my life. And if we try to obliterate that from anything, then, of course, it's a very serious time. And that's why Jesus' reminder of giving to God is very timely. Because that secularism sets human life as the center of the universe, repeating the same mistake, the age-old mistake of Adam, who was beguiled by the tempter's promise of divine status. "Don't worry about eating the fruit, you'll be like gods, you'll be fine." And making God and man equal the same. And that recognition of God's place in life, that sense of the sacred, is under constant attack today. I think it's a very sort of perhaps more dangerous when it's a hidden propaganda rather than open conflict. But open conflict there is. You only need to read the Catholic papers every week to see that open conflict. But the secularistic culture that's beamed into our homes through the television, the magazines that are about, the internet, everything connected, can inevitably will erode all sense of the sacred if it's allowed unchecked access. And so it's why we need to be alert. We know we've got to pay our taxes. We don't need to worry about that. So don't worry there. Go to God. Give back to God what belongs to God. Must answer to God in every area of our life. And that's a tremendous challenge, as it was in Jesus' day, in our own times, a challenge. Give to God the glory.